word of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, right off the bat, from the collect that which they kind of just collect our thoughts, it's so true, because we're saying a prayer to God Almighty. You alone can bring into order the unruly will of the perfection of sinners. And for all of us, we realize that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. All of us realize that we want to learn more and more each day how to be and live and love like Jesus Christ, our Savior. So for me, it's such a beautiful call because it focuses us. It focuses us. Because even towards the end, it says that among the swift and varied changes of the world, and I bet there is not one person in this church that doesn't feel that it's, you know, crazy to live in this world at this time. And there's so many changes. There's so many stresses and strains. But if we can focus and keep our eyes on the Lord and kind of just take a deep breath and relax in the Lord's arms and know that God is in charge, then we kind of relax into the heart of the time, we still a little stressed and strained. But if every day we wake up and say, okay, God, I'm here. I know you're here. You know, I'm giving you my stress and strain. I'm depending on you. If we can depend on God, we can calm down. And Jeremiah even tells us about how we can depend on God, because God is talking to him about covenants. A covenant is not just a contract. A covenant is a promise between two people. A covenant can be kept by one and not the other. And that's what happens. And that's what can happen even between God and ourselves, personally. None of us don't sin, so at times we break the covenant. But we have Jesus Christ, the perfect covenant, so we don't have to worry about what we do, because we want to love God and please Him as He deserves and as He desires. So we can keep in mind that our God, even when we're not faithful, our God is. And God always has open arms, open heart, and is always calling us to love. And the love that we see from Jesus Christ is just so perfect, we can't doubt for a minute. So the gospel shows it, the obedience of Jesus Christ to God the Father. Now here, this is the Passover feast is happening, and Jesus had entered into Jerusalem, and pilgrims were coming from all over. And not only Jews, but even, they said, some Greeks. So when they came up, when Philip and Andrew came up to Jesus and said, you know, we want to introduce you to this Greek, Jesus knew that his ministry, his word, was now beginning to grow. And he explains to them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. How often do we hear before this, well, the hour is not here, the hour has not come. We hear that a lot. Well, now, after he entered into Jerusalem, he knew the hour had come. And then he tries to teach them a lesson. Still, he does that to his dying moment, then in his resurrection. But he's trying to teach them. Jesus says to them, very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If Jesus hadn't loved us so much, if Jesus hadn't have loved God and been so obedient, our salvation would not have happened. But Jesus knew that with his death, our salvation would happen. His cross, his passion, was our salvation. And not only for the Jews they learned this day, but for everyone. All the Samaritans, the Jews, the Greeks, everybody from then, past, present, and future. All people who believe on Jesus. Remember last week we heard that, you know, when he was risen, I'm sorry, when he has been lifted up, he talks about that last week. When we look on Jesus Christ, when we turn to Jesus Christ, we are saved. But then another thought that he was teaching is, let's not be exclusive. We're not going to keep our new faith in God just for the Jews. It's for everyone. We're to be sharing Jesus Christ. This is what he was teaching them, and this is what he even teaches us now. We're not to be inclusive. We're not to have tunnel vision and think, well, oh, that person shouldn't be in church, or this person shouldn't be in church. Everyone should be in church, some church, worshiping the Lord. It's not a selfish worship. It's not a selfish faith. We are to share our faith and share our love, share Jesus' forgiveness, and share how much he really cares. And so we learn more about Jesus' obedience, which is true love. He says those who love their life will lose it. In other words, if we get wrapped up so much in the drudgery of life, and forget about going to church, forget about our daily time with the Lord, forget about having to share or wanting to share Jesus and our faith with all of our friends, our family, children, everyone, we're going to lose out because God is going to be more distant, not because he is, but because we put up a wall and we forget, and it's not always convenient. So he tells us, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. When we wake up every morning, every single day, and decide to put God first, because our normal life, what some would call, well, real living, when we do that, it's not that we have an emotion of hate, but we're realizing that we want to put God first and not our work. We want to put our faith first, and that everything can fall into order after that. And then Jesus said, whoever serves me, the Father will honor. So he's teaching them obedience. But then the biggest lesson comes next. He says, now my soul is troubled. Think about it. If we really knew that just in a day or two, we were going to be crucified, think of the stress and strain. And we're not really even, like, we don't realize the pain. We haven't seen someone crucified right in front of us. That was real for Jesus. The flogging, the crucifixion, the torture, the death. That's what he did for us. That's how much he cared. He could have said no, but he said yes to the Father for obedience sake to him and for love and our salvation. So Jesus tells them, should I tell God the Father will save me from this hour? No. He said, because that's why Jesus came. He's 100% God, came down from heaven to earth, 100% human being. Can't explain much more than that. But that's why Jesus came, so he could relate to us and we could relate to him. And because he wanted to show us the nature of God and how we are to really live, to really treat each other, to really worship God the Father. And so God confirmed it and said, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And so some thought, thunder. A few others thought, okay, it was an angel. And Jesus goes and says, well, actually, this voice came for your sake, not mine. That's why we have sacraments, because we need tangible things to hold on to. So did they. So reassurance. We need reassurance. And God is giving reassurance to them. And then the good news. Jesus tells them, now is the judgment of this world, because he knew he would be crucified and he knew he would be raised. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. Jesus Christ saved us. Yes, there's still sin, but we have the ability through Jesus Christ and by using the power of the Holy Spirit to follow what God wants. And we have his mercy and forgiveness that when we fail at doing that, we can turn back to the Lord our God and be faithful once again and keep the covenant that we have. So Jesus wins, Satan loses. And lastly, he says, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Well, the cross, even still, which is a sign of torture, it represents the torture and death of that person. It's either crazy, what Jesus did, or it's perfect love. For us, it's perfect love. That's how much he loved us. And that's how far he was willing to go. He is self-giving and so forgiving and so merciful and kind and interested in wanting us to be reconciled back to God the Father that he was willing to suffer, to die, but then to rise again. Jesus wins, and so do we, because we are saved. Please pray for me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. We thank you for the love, the direction, the guidance, the comfort, the reassurance, most of all, the mercy and forgiveness that you give us each and every day. We ask that we can become more faithful in our own personal covenant and as a corporate, as a church, together, be more faithful to you. We ask that we glorify you in our lives by what we think, by what we say, and by what we do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.